Hey everybody, Bobby here. Just wanted to make a quick announcement before this episode starts. This was recorded before the massive leak slash spoiler that occurred. I guess that was Sunday evening. We record Sunday morning, so just kind of wanted to give you a heads up that that had not occurred at this point. So please keep that in mind as you listen to the episode, and check back next week. We'll have a lot of thoughts to share on that. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the episode.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Bobby.
And I'm Chris.
So, you may have noticed we have switched orders for the initial beginning of this cast. We're looking at doing some, we won't talk about what we're doing, but we're doing some new stuff coming up and we might be going out on the road with or without me. So, we're just kind of practicing warming up for that, so don't mind that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for some big stuff. But, so today we are going to start with, so first before we get into anything, let's talk about this holiday giveaway again. Because we have only one entrant right now, guys. We've got some sweet stuff we're trying to give out, and it'd be a shame if we sent it all to one listener. I'm sure he wouldn't mind, but, you know, we'd like to spread the love a little bit for the holiday season. So, again, go to our Facebook page, write, Happy Holidays, go F yourselves, Merry Christmas. Anything that counts as a holiday blessing, holiday
season greetings.
Season greetings is a good way to put it. We'll count just about anything. We've got, you know, just a pile of stuff we're going to send out. We're not saying what, but there's some pretty cool stuff in there. So if you want some free stuff for the holidays, man, just get over to that Facebook wall. So today, first, we're going to be talking about our news segment again, the same segment we did last time. This is going to be the standard opening segment. So if you love it or hate it, let us know. After that, we're going to come back from the break to talk about sort of the wastes and you, sort of the new colorless mana, the waste basic land, and how it's going to affect the game, what we see happening, all that jazz. You'll see. So, all right, let's talk some news, guys. So, as always, we'll start with what we have done this week. What have you guys been up to?
I've been playing Modern and Standard on Magic Online still. Posted a recent video of me playing the Naya Burn. A lot of the lists that have been coming up now, if you haven't been looking at, is Running Wild Nakatl. And I wanted to see why.
So hot right now.
And it's because it is very lethal. It's a one drop that can be a 3-3 because it has the mana there for it. And with the Tarkus command, it's now a 4-4. So on turn three, you're looking at, with a Tarkus command, your Monastery Swift Spear and Wild Nakatl out. If Wild Nakatl's maxed, you're looking at dealing 10 damage right there on top of any burn you have in hand, to either go after creatures that they have so all of your damage goes through, or just more to the face.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because that's what Burn needed, right? You need more potent damage.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was kind of there. The spot it took was Lightning Helix. Lightning Helix is no longer part of the deck, main board or sideboard. And it was great, yeah, because it gave you the three-point swing. You know, opponent takes three, you gain three. But with the Wild Nakatl out there, though, they have to have that creature removal answer, and they're probably going to burn it on that. And now your Monastery Swift Spear is still alive, or your Goblin Guide is still alive.
And it probably has better interactions with Core Firewalker, too.
Yes.
Not red. Go ahead and get in the way.
True. Yep. That's a good point.
Yeah. I haven't played the mirror match yet, so I haven't had any issues with it. The two matches I have on my video are two matches against Affinity and one against Green Red Tron. I'm not going to tell you how I did, but just take a look.
Did you have any weird interactions? Because the only thing I wonder is, with it being green to cast, do you fetch for the stomping ground if you only have fetches in hand? Has it been making fetching a little weird for you?
I do have one misplay on fetches, and I even called it out beforehand. Hey, I want to get this, but I grabbed Sacred Foundry instead. Outside of that, though, I mean, you want the green anyways for the Atarkus command. So the difficulty of getting one or the other, just make sure you have both.
Yeah, because that was the only thing, like, sitting here talking with you, as I wonder, well, all right, if I get this, I get, you know, the one extra point. If I get this, I lose out on 1 point. But I guess as long as you have two fetches in hand, I mean, take the four damage or end a turn if you want to. I'd probably just say with burn, you take the four damage and get online.
Yeah, because it's not white mana intensive. You got to think you have Boris Charm in the main, and that's really it for white mana main board. Sideboard, yeah, you have, I think you're running a dual white with Core Firewalker.
Yeah, I guess if you got rid of Lightning Helix, you know, you just Rock it out.
It balances the white and the green a lot, and I kind of like that, because before it was just the Tarkas command with green, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, it made fetching a little less awkward, because now you have more stuff to do with the green mana. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be hands where you need both, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Excuse me. But no, I like the addition. I think it makes perfect sense. I've played against it once now in paper, and I mean, like, yeah, Wild Nacatl's, he's a monster, so yeah. He's tough to deal with, and I mean, it seems weird to move away from Lightning Helix for the life gain in the mirror match, but I think that the pressure from Wild Nacatl, they're probably going to have to point a burn spell at him, so that sort of negates that life damage you would take that you would need the life loss to or the life gain to recoup. So, I mean, yeah, it seems like a solid list, and I mean, it's been... I remember we were talking about burn a few weeks ago, and I was trying to find a more traditional Naya burn before Wild Nacatl list, and I couldn't find one. Like, it's pretty much the consensus that everyone's moving to. Now, like, that doesn't always mean it's right, but it's usually a good sign. Like, we've seen a lot of big names switching to this list, so it's definitely worth something checking out.
Yeah. I want to play a couple games with it.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, log onto my Moto account.
Because, I mean, you know, I've been on the Jun burn plan for a while, and I want to try. It seems like it'd be more explosive.
Yeah, keep it fresh. Yeah, so for me, I went and played Paper Modern on Monday. I ended up playing Infect for that event again, so that's 2 weeks in a row. I 2-1'd it, so nice. I cashed even though I got boosters. I boostered. So, you know, I mean, it was a good turnout. It was only a 3-rounder because we didn't have a lot of guys. But, like, getting the feel for the deck more, it's been nice. I definitely can get behind the idea of, like, if you have holes in your Magic gameplay that come from playing one type of deck, like for me, I always play control, definitely flex those muscles, switch to a different build, try something a little different, because I've made a lot of egregious misplays over the past few weeks, and it all comes from, you know, being in situations I haven't been in a very long time. So as embarrassing as it can be, it's nice to kind of realize, like, oh yeah, I need to work on this. Like, I'm glad I'm doing this. We won't get into them because they suck for me, but you know, they exist. It's been fun though, testing out this deck. Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I haven't really been playing a lot this week. I've had a lot going on at work.
Yeah. You
know, so we've been doing a lot of volunteer events. So that's been occupying my time, but Christmas leaves coming up, and I think I'm going to sit down and travel around the area and get Moto on my desktop and really sit down and start playing some games.
Get the grind going again.
Yeah, because I'm going to be traveling coming up, and I want to be able to travel and still play. So I think that's the route I'm going to go right there is get some more Moto time in from where I can't just sit down and play Paper Magic.
Yeah.
Getting closer to Elves being done, so I'm super pumped about that.
Yeah, very cool. So, all right, guys, you ready to get into some news then?
Yes.
All right. So, for the first item, the new Kozilek that we talked about last week, I cannot remember the rest of his name, but...
Kozilek the Great Distortion.
Great Distortion. There we go. So, he has been distorting the news this week because he has been confirmed to be real. So... that really puts us on, you know, obviously now they've come out with new releases too, saying that the waste symbol, the diamond, is in fact colorless mana, that Kozilek's real, so that casting cost is real, is really the big importance there. So, I mean, it's confirming a lot of rumors that have been floating around for the last few weeks, so it's nice to kind of get that resolved. One thing that's been floating on my mind, and I've seen a few people kind of bring this up as well, do you think that the leaks of Kozilek and that Wasteland and then the Mystic Gate were intentional?
Yes.
Ooh. So
Chris, with the quick yes.
The Mystic Gate, the reason I'm on the fence about it was a picture of a physical card.
Yeah.
We don't see that.
Yeah, that's a pretty official leak. Like, yeah, usually it's a mock up or an image, like.
Right. So either someone in Wizards posted it and then, oh crap, someone else saw it and it just destroyed Reddit. Yeah. Or no, it was a intentional thing of, hey, we're gonna let them know that this diamond symbol is a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that, like, I think Wizards benefited from the rumor mill kind of going around and people wrapping their heads around it before they confirmed it to be real. Because there was a good week, 2 weeks there where it was floating around. People were unsure. We got to speculate, talk about it, get used to it, and then it's confirmed real. And I think that if you're making a big change like that, it makes perfect sense to kind of want to ease it into people. Because, like, people are freaking out right now. I mean, that's why our second segment is going to be covering it, because there's a lot of confusion bouncing around. There's a lot of, as with any big change, it's going to ruin Magic. A lot of people are convinced that Magic is done because of this, which doesn't make any sense. But I mean, it's a pretty significant change, and it's a big deal. I mean, it's going to be exciting to see, but it's cool now that we've confirmed that it's real.
I mean, to me, the quality of the leaks were just way too nice. Yes. I mean, now granted, there's someone who has some really nice, like, if they were to reprint dual lands out there.
Yeah.
You know, they gave them
ones out there.
But these were physical cards on the initial leaks. Like, you saw someone holding them, and the quality was top-notch quality. It's not like I went out there with my printer, you know, and tore off some, you know, little Cracker Jack cards. They were good quality prints. And it was great publicity or advertisement, because you got to figure, before they hadn't really released much, you know, just a few cards. And then it was the talk of the town.
Yeah, just a quick note, the Mystic Gate, I think, was the only one that was actually a physical card, right? The other two were just images.
No, the Mina and Den one, the legendary elf ally also.
That was a
picture of a real one. And the other foil that they spoiled as well was a real one to the core cleric.
So the initial three, though, Mystic Gate was the only one that was a physical. Yes. Kozilek and Waste were. But to me, the biggest thing that cued me off is, like, if you're going to leak three cards, what perfect three cards? Because you get Kozilek first. You're like, okay, here's this new symbol. What's going on with this symbol? Then you get the Waste basic with it. So you're like, okay, I'm starting to put this together. Is this a new color? Is this just representing colorless? I mean, most people were on that it was just colorless. And then you get the Mystic Gate shortly thereafter that pretty much confirmed it would be colorless, because it replaced the colorless one with the new diamonds.
Yeah, and that was the biggest thing, too, with Mystic Gate being spoiled, as you saw. Because before Mystic Gate, for those that didn't know, Mystic Gate is a filter land. You could tap it for one colorless, and is your old colorless just your gray circle with the number one? Or you could tap it and a blue or a white mana, or so island or plains, and then you could add two island, an island and a plains, or two plains. So with the replacement of that one and the gray circle now being that Waste symbol, that really solidified it in the community of this is a thing.
This is colorless. This is colorless mostly. I mean, the three cards told a story, and that's kind of why I'm leaning towards these were intentional leaks, just because they told us what was going on. We were able to grab all the information we needed from these three pictures to put it together ourselves. Then they come out and confirm, yep, you guys are dead on. Good job, guys. So, I mean, I think it's pretty likely they're intentional. It doesn't really matter, but, you know, it's a little ahead of spoiler season where it usually is. Get people adjusted to the new change.
Right.
I think it's a good call, if that's what they did. But, so Rob kind of touched on it too. Going down the list here, we have some new spoilers that popped up. We have Mina and Den, and then we also got Crush of Tentacles, which I think is the more exciting of the two. But do you have the text up for Mina and Den?
Yeah, Mina and Den. It is a 4-drop Gruul, so red and green. Elf ally, legendary creature. You may play an additional land during each of your turns. Then, for one red and one green, you can return a land you control to its owner's hand, and target creature gains trample until end of turn. And he's a 4/4 body.
Yeah, so I mean, a pretty solid card. It'll be exciting to see if this is, I mean, it's kind of on that borderline standard playable. Makes sense as the top end, sort of in a red-green aggro deck. It might have a place in mid-range somewhere. I mean, we saw sort of similar to Courser of Kruphix kind of effect. I mean, I know it's very different, so I'm careful to say that, but he saw mid-range play pretty heavily with his ability, so it's not far-fetched to say that this might see some mid-range play as well.
The reason I like this for mid-range, playing a lot of mid-range, I like the ability to play additional lands each turn. Landfall is a mechanic. Gnarled and some of your other bigger landfall. Yeah, Scythe Leopard for your aggro. It's just a great way to abuse it, because you drop two fetches now, you're going to have four landfall triggers in one turn. And then the ability to give your creatures trample. You guys hear me talk about it. In effect, trample is a great thing. If you're not abusing trample when you have it, I feel like you're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, especially in a standard environment right now where we see decks going to time that usually don't. I mean, there's a lot of mid-range out there. There's a lot of trouble getting damage through. So, I mean...
And it's because you have a lot of tokens out there. You have your Gideon tokens. You have your Hangerback Walker tokens. You just have a lot of small, annoying things out there that the reason you're not attacking in is because it's not going to do anything. They're just going to chump block, and then I could possibly die in the backswing. But if you have that trample, now it's good. And a great thing about that ability is... if you have a lot of mana, it doesn't say you can only do this once per turn.
Yeah.
You can do it as many times as you want for how much mana you have. So if you haven't played any land...
the activated ability, right?
Yep. If you haven't played your land yet, you could tap to return a land, play your two lands, tap those, and then return another land, and you're set.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some sweet interactions. I mean, usually a card with this much text on it, like, it's probably going to find a home somewhere. It's obviously it's going to depend on how the standard environment shakes out after this is released, but this seems like a pretty good pickup. I mean,
I could see it being a 2 or 3 of, and the only reason I say that, not a 4, is it's legendary. You're not going to want more than one in hand.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll definitely keep a close eye on that. So now moving on to Crush of Tentacles. So I've got this up here. Crush of Tentacles is a sorcery. Costs blue, and 4. So it's 6 total. I'll get to the Surge ability in a second. All it says is return all non-land permanents to their owner's hands. If Crush of Tentacles Surge cost was paid, put an 8/8 blue octopus creature token onto the battlefield. That's a fine card, but the juice here is the Surge. So Surge has a cost of 3 blue, so 5 total. And it says in parentheses, you may cast this spell for its Surge cost if you or a teammate has cast another spell this turn. The teammate obviously is the biggest thing there. We already know that the pre-release for this set is going to be team sealed oriented, which
two-headed giant. Yeah. What they're pushing.
Yeah. Which is interesting because that's something that is always available at pre-releases, but at least in our area, it usually doesn't fire. So it's going to be interesting to see how people take to this, but now we have a keyword ability that focuses on having teammates. Now, it does say if you or a teammate, so you can play another spell in your turn in a regular constructed one-on-one game and then play the surge cost afterwards. So some of these may see standard play and typical 1v1 play despite this teammate thing, but a lot of people are upset. It's a shame, you know, we weren't able to get Alex on the cast this week because Alex was very upset about this. I think in the notes he had written Wizards WTF next to this card. So it seems a little cheeky. It seems kind of lame to have the teammates written on there. I know I read too that this is the first time that teammates has appeared on a card since I can't remember the set they listed, but it's been probably a decade. So, I mean, we're looking at something. I mean, it does feel odd on the card. I mean, how do you guys feel about this?
I just wonder if they get something that low cost that the surge is going to take it down to one of a color, it's going to bring tempo out more.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we're going to get a pseudo Serum Visions or something like that, that if you've cast another spell, you can cast it for one blue. But the focus on the teammates, I thought was odd. It's their first big, you know, two block set that the second set's coming. We're going to get to see something cool, and I just feel like with the surge, they really focused on the two-headed giant more, and I feel like for your first block, you should have focused on something else, not this team play that it seems like they're trying to go with. Now, yeah, you can still do it on your turn, but it seems like the people aren't doing a lot in multiples. Like, you look at Jeskai Black. They do their one thing.
Right.
And they pretty much call it a turn because they're very reactive, control-y. The decks seem real grindy right now. So I just don't know how much it's really going to manipulate play as we know it.
Also remember, this is the second set of the same block still.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. But it's the first where it's only coming out in two.
Gotcha.
Two, you know, I think we should have seen something. And it just seems like it never really hit there for just an awesome mechanic, you know, something new.
Yeah, I mean, usually we see a handful of mechanics, so we might get something else. Surge is also one that I'm keeping a close eye on for, like, Modern and Legacy Storm, because casting multiple spells a turn, that's what they're doing. So if you have one that costs 3 and then reduces to 1, like something you were saying, that could get very dicey to see what they print. So I'm sure they're going to be very careful with this, because Wizards is not crazy about Storm. So I think that coupled with this mechanic means we're probably going to see a lot of non-playable constructed cards.
Because, I mean, Wizards already said they don't like Storm, but it seems like oh, that just sounds...
Scream Storm.
Yeah, yeah, like, instead of calling it Storm, I called it Surge. So it's not Storm, okay? But it's still casting multiple spells in the same turn.
Feeds right into their game plan. And like you said, tempo strategies, Delver strategies, things like that. I could see this. I mean, like, you think about Modern with Gitaxian Probe casting for two life instead of paying. There could be some broken things here. So I think the fact that a low, like an aggressively low-costed version of this mechanic would easily be broken in Modern and possibly Legacy. So I think that that's going to put us in a spot where it's tough for them to do anything cool with this. So instead, we're just going to see a bunch of cards that are going to be flashy and fun during the pre-release event, and then
they're going to fade away.
25 cents for the rest of their lives.
Like, I'm just waiting to see the instant speed storm kill. That's what I expect to see from this is like thinking about it, you know.
No.
Something small. They were like, oh man, that one, because we know they don't test Modern or Legacy whenever they test the standard set. So it could just be one of those they didn't think.
They don't, but you know they have to have it in the back of their mind, especially with this mechanic. I mean, it might as well say Storm on the card. I mean, obviously it's not. I want to clear up that we don't mean that's the same effect as Storm, but like, it's such an obvious connection. This is right on their game.
It's
plan.
One-sided, I mean, Storm is really what it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're getting benefits for playing multiple spells in turn. They're already doing that. That's the whole point of the deck. So we'll see what they print, but I don't think we're going to see anything exciting out of this. They might be fun during pre-release.
Yeah, but that's going to be the biggest thing is this is the first card we're seeing with it. It's moderately priced. It's going to be interesting to see where they go because it was the same way with Awaken. Whenever we first saw the Awakened thing, we're like, I'm not sure how well that's going to do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a couple of them are being used. You have Ruinous Path out there, and then what's the white one that's being used?
Planar Outburst.
Planar Outburst. Sweeper. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, you may see it, you may not.
It's also worth noting, this card is a mythic rare.
Yeah.
This is a horrible mythic rare.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be in the junk rare Pinata.
Yes, seriously, yeah. Oh, man, that brings back memories. But yeah, I mean, I don't like what's happening with sets where we have garbage. Now, the good thing about it being a Mythic Rare is that means that something that could be a playable constructed card that was going to be a Mythic Rare maybe got bounced back to Rare for it, which is great for prices.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be aware right now that Standard is crazy expensive, so I'm not sure how they're going to fix that. And maybe we see some Mythic Rares in this set that don't feel like Mythic Rares because they had to do some adjustments. But that's just off the top of my head. We'll see about that. But all right, that's enough on that. I mean, Surge, overall, we're all feeling pretty down on Surge. I know people are excited about Surge coming back, the drink, but that's dumb. I'm going to stop. All right, so down the list, that joke went nowhere.
What about Aelie, the Eternal Pilgrim? That's one that's on here. She is a white-black core cleric, a 2-3 body.
Kind of cleric?
Core.
Okay, all right.
2-3 body, legendary, with death touch. For one colorless, sacrifice another creature, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness. For a colorless, white and a black, sacrifice another creature, exile target non-land permanent. Only activate this ability if you have at least 10 or more life than your starting life total.
Oh, that's some ugly text.
Right.
That's interesting. It's another sac outlet, so that could be cool. We're losing Nantucko Husk, right? But, I mean, not during this set, but when rotation happens, we lose Nantucko Husk. That's an interesting card. We'll see. That could easily be non-playable, though.
And it's a promo.
Oh, okay. So it's one. I think they're sticking with the same promo idea of it can be any rare or mythic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stamp a date on it. Yeah, I mean, we also saw... So we saw some expeditions, too, that were just posted this morning, actually. We just barely caught these before we came in here. Ancient Tomb and Forbidden Orchard were spoiled as expedition lands.
Yes.
This is kind of... I mean, it's really interesting. A lot of people have been speculating on what the rest of the lands were going to be to fill out this expedition set. And I don't think I've ever heard either of these cards mentioned in the discussion. So this is kind of out of left field. Ancient Tomb... It's another one that they've errated to show. So it's a tap, add two colorless to your mana pool. It deals two damage to you. They've changed the two colorless symbol, though, to be the two waste diamond symbol. So it seems like we have a theme here where they've wanted to push a lot of lands that are going to really bear this new symbol, which is interesting. But I'll be honest in that off the top of my head, I don't know what this is sitting at price-wise. I don't know what to expect out of the price for the expedition of this land. I mean...
I don't think they're as desirable as the last set of expeditions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe the art's going to be awesome on them.
Yeah, the art looks good. Yeah, I guess you came after we looked mm-hmm. at these. But the art looks great, as always. I mean, the expeditions are beautiful lands. And, I mean, it's definitely interesting. Yeah, Rob, can you give us a price on Ancient Tomb?
Yeah, sure thing. Forbidden Orchard is only gone for about $7.50 right now. And the Tempest Ancient Tomb is only $13.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're probably going to see prices similar to the Tango lands that they had in Expeditions. Yeah, 40, probably somewhere around there. So, yeah, so a little less exciting and sexy than what we got in the first set of them. But what are you going to do? But mostly just the choices they've made I thought were pretty interesting. What's the text on Forbidden Orchard?
Text on Forbidden
Orchard. Yeah, pull that up. I know what it does, but I don't want to just read it off because I know I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah.
All right, Forbidden Orchard. Tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. Whenever you tap Forbidden Orchard for mana, target opponent puts a 1/1 colorless spirit creature token onto the battlefield.
Right, okay. So, yeah, so, I mean, so these are the two that are going to be coming in Expeditions. I mean, I'm kind of excited because now it opens up the door to what else are we going to get? I mean, I think it's pretty much assumed that the Mystic Gate, the filter land, has not been officially announced. It's still a rumor. But it looks pretty real. So that we'll probably see 5 filter lands from that. But aside from that, I mean, who knows? All right. So going down the list here, we've got one more item here to hit real quick as we are coming close to time. But Rob found a pretty cool article that was the title Rules?
Modern Rules That Are Easy to Screw Up.
Nice. Yeah. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but we'll definitely link that to it. Did you get a chance to go through that?
Yeah. And it talked about a lot of common interactions and things like that. So, one of the most common ones I think people run into when they first start playing Modern is Tarmogoyf.
Right.
Tarmogoyf's power and toughness is equal to a number of card types in all graveyards. If there's a 2/3 Goyf, because Goyf is XX plus 1.
Yeah, so it gets plus 1 on defense.
So if you have a creature and a land in the graveyard, and you go to bolt that Goyf, the lightning bolt is instant speed. There's no instant in the graveyard yet. It will hit the graveyard before damage is dealt.
Well, so, damage is marked on the creature, but before it checks state-based effects to see if the Goyf would die, the instant is already in the graveyard. Yep. So now he's a 3/4 at that point.
Right, and then the Tarmogoyf won't die. You've just wasted your bolt. And, Sad day. Yeah, it's not a good time. Other ones are things along the lines of Blood Moon, the more complex interactions with the different layers for Blood Moon.
Nice.
As well as Malira, the way she works.
Okay.
And the biggest one with her is with Ink Moth Nexus. So when Malira enters the battlefield, creatures don't have infect. But when you activate Ink Moth Nexus, it still retains infect. So whenever you attack, all of your normal infect creatures would be dealing normal combat damage, except for Ink Moth Nexus. It would attempt to deal infect damage. And your opponent can't get poison counters. So now Ink Moth Nexus will swing in and do nothing.
Huh. That's one I didn't even know.
So I found that out the hard way on Magic Online.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's one we'll link in the description. It's a really, you know, I didn't get a chance to look through it, but I kind of skimmed through it and I saw a bunch of topics come up that, I mean, they're perfect. Like, if you're getting into Modern, if you're playing for a while, these are some to go through. Some of them you may not see because of the matchups you play or the deck you pilot. So it's definitely worth checking all these out. But yeah, we'll link to that and you can check that out. But all right, so that's going to do it for this first segment. We're going to take a quick break and when we come back, we'll be talking about the Wastes and you. Back everybody. So I missed something big on our intro. It's all on me 100%, but just want to touch on where our missing members are today. So we're missing Alex and Jerry today. Alex, we're still working out. We had some time constraints there. We made some progress this week with recording him remotely. Came out sounding really good, so we hope to have him on next week. That was kind of on us on our end. We had some stuff to deal with this morning and just couldn't get him in time.
Sorry, Alex.
Yeah, sorry, Alex. We miss you this week. Jerry is out right now in Vegas.
Yep.
Playing in the Invitational. So he's been there for the whole weekend. The biggest thing of note so far is he spiked a little Modern side event and won some prize ball action. So we will get to hear his thoughts in depth on his first impressions in dealing with the prize wall. I know a lot of people are upset about that, and it seemed like he was too.
And also, too, to note, the prize wall is there. Star City said it wasn't going to come out until next year, but it looks like they decided to hit it a little early with the Vegas Invitational.
Yeah, so very interesting stuff going on. We'll get some more details and everything, and we'll talk about that next week with Jerry. But good luck to him the rest of this weekend, and best wishes to him and Alex while they're missing. But all right, so now let's get into it with the Wastes and you. So with the spoilers being confirmed now, I think we're in a safe spot to really not even speculate, but just discuss what it looks like this is going to be with this new sort of the colorless color that's being added to the game. Before we get too much into this, we wanted to talk about a topic that's been floating around a lot lately, and that is the difference between colorless mana and generic mana. So really what you're looking at here is when you see like a cost on a card, it's blue and two. The two represents generic mana. It doesn't need to be colorless. It needs to be any mana. So it can be colorless, it can be colored, whatever. Functionally, we've all known this forever now, but there's been some confusion now with the specific colored or colorless rather symbol. So now the colorless mana is represented in mana costs by the diamond. The diamond can only be paid for with colorless mana specifically, not generic mana. So when you look at something like a pain land that has tap to add one colorless, that's going to now be one diamond. So for any cost that specifically calls for diamond, it must be colorless mana. I hope that really explains it. Do you guys have anything to add to that to help?
I think it's still going to be confusing for those who are just getting into Magic and who are really, you know, trying to grasp all the rules and that of what exactly is colorless. And, you know, and I think it's just going to take playing. Playing is going to be the biggest thing to get people in on it. And I mean, even if you just want to call it diamond. Diamond mana. It doesn't sound great. It sounds silly.
Right.
But what I mean, if that's your way of being able to separate it from the rest of the colorless or sorry, the rest of the generic mana. I mean, see, even me messing it up. Because we've all referred to this generic mana, which has always been a thing.
Yeah.
It's just, we never had to give the distinction.
Yeah, we've never had to separate colorless from generic. So right. I think the biggest problem is that everyone thinks of generic mana as colorless mana. They've kind of combined the two ideas because until now, they were the same thing. I mean, not technically per rules, but functionally, there was no difference. So the biggest thing is, really you can look at colorless as a sixth color. I think is probably the easiest way to conceptualize it. Like, just pretend that it's purple. So it calls for purple. And every symbol that says add one colorless just says add one purple now.
Yep.
I mean, so that's really the way to treat it. And I mean, going forward, like this set and cards printed that call for it are really going to be the determinants for how this plays out in function. None of the old cards really change at all. Nothing changes except for the new cards that are going to call for this cost. So that brings us to the fact that this hasn't been said, but it's been heavily implied that we are errating a how would you say that?
We are
going to errata?
Rules clarification? Maybe? No, errata. Yeah, we're going to errata the older cards.
Yeah, so like we've mentioned before, anything that says one colorless now is one diamond, one hedron symbol, one waste, if you will. Whatever you want to call it. But that opens up a lot of cards to being able to tap for this mana, which is going to be kind of interesting to see how they do with like balancing these new cards.
Right. The biggest issue, though, and I touched on this whenever it's first spoiled, is being able to retrieve it from your deck.
Yeah.
The fetching. Evolving Wilds, as much as, you know, people do knock that card, it looks like it's going to become a necessity if you're going to be running a waste deck.
It'll be a functional card now.
Yeah, it's actually
it has a new purpose, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to see some type of fetching for, I guess I shouldn't say sure, but I would imagine we'd see some type of fetching. And then the other thing is that you may not even need to fetch these because, like, if you have other functional lands that tap for colorless, well, now they're already playing that role. So they're kind of built into a lot of decks. Tron's going to be real interesting to see what happens with these new cards because we were talking about how maybe they did this to prevent Tron from running Kozilek, but now that's out the window.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the way everything's coming, especially now that we've seen the Ancient Tomb, it's been updated, and the Pain Land, or the...
Filter.
Yeah, the Filter Land Mystic Gate also being updated for this new diamond symbol. Tron now produces 7 of these whenever Tron's online.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there's no barrier to entry for these cards. For Tron, it's essentially like they still just call for generic mana. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. None of us play Tron. We'll get that out of the way right now.
Nope.
So the Kozilek, he may or may not see play. There's been some speculation. I've seen some pretty high level players say that they don't think it's going to be built in, but we've seen them be wrong in the past, so it's just going to take to see what happens. But really, it just means that we were not right thinking that this was a way to bar these cards from being able to be played in Tron. Nope, gates wide open. So we'll see what else they come out with. I know a lot of people are hoping to see like Emrakul in this set. So I don't know. We'll see.
I've read some interesting things about people's speculation on Emrakul, but I'll save that for later. If you want to know about it, check out Alion Trazi's wall, because he went on a little rant with this.
Okay, nice. Yeah, so yeah, we'll get into that later, but there could be some interesting things going on with it. So now going on down the list, though, here, I mean, really, like we've already kind of touched on, the impact of this change is yet to be seen, because really, it doesn't affect anything except for the new cards printed. So we don't know how, like, my point being that if we see 15 cards that call for this diamond waste colorless mana in their casting cost, is that going to warp any formats? If we see 30, 40 cards, I mean, there's no way we see such a high number. So if we only see like 5 or 6 cards that call for this and they're not very playable, that may not be any real change. And then, yeah, Chris, I mean, you've got a good point. Go for it. Converge.
How is it going to affect Converge now? Are you going to be able to count it as a casting cost?
Mana? Rob, can you pull up the wording on Converge?
Yeah, sure thing.
So let's get the word. I want to read the wording on Converge specifically to see if we can.
Because if it's still counted colorless, I would say no. Because I think it says colored mana. But if it's.
Yeah, I think it says colored mana or types of color or amount of colors. But if it's. Or, we'll see in a second.
Type
here,
of mana spent. Like.
It's a. Pardon the pun, but it's a gray area.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. But. Because that's what I'm. Read that off.
All right. So this is from Woodland Wanderer. It has Converge. Woodland Wanderer enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each color of mana spent.
Okay. So initially I would take that to mean waste does not add to that.
Right.
It's colorless.
Yes.
But who knows? I mean, we're going to have to wait and get the official word on that. I mean, it's all speculation at this point, but I would imagine it's probably not.
No.
However, some of those cards get significantly better if that is the case. So that'll be cool to see, but probably not. But really, I mean, that's the type of thing is I don't know if there's going to be any older cards that get affected. I wouldn't imagine. There shouldn't be. If it doesn't count as another color, then it doesn't affect any cards with those types of effects. Really, I mean...
Yeah,
I can't think of anything old. It's mostly going to be what we touch on now. Chris is writing down Neither Reliquary. No, because that's just tight amounts of land.
Yeah, that's just land in the graveyard. Engineered explosives.
What
Sunburst.
Sunburst, yeah. So yeah. That's functionally the same as Converge. Pull up the text on Sunburst. Let's take a look at that one.
I want to say Sunburst is going to read the exact same, but yeah, no.
I think it reads the exact same, but yeah, let's definitely confirm that, because that's another one that could be affected. But other than those two, and I'm sure there's probably some weird obscure cards out there.
Yep, no, it reads the same. This enters the battlefield with a charge counter on it for each color of mana.
So maybe that's why we see this colorless. It fits with the Eldrazi theme. It won't affect older cards. I mean, it makes sense. They don't want to shake things up too much.
Right.
People have wanted a purple mana or a 6 color for a long time. So this way they kind of gave us a new color, but it's also keeping peace with all the older cards. I mean, so it's I don't think it's going to be a monumental change. Someone asked Mark Rosewater on his blog about, I wish I could remember the way they phrased the question, but it was, will we be seeing wastes in all sets moving forward? And he said no, which makes sense. They probably phrased the question poorly, because all kind of makes it easy to say no to. But really, the frequency of how often we see this coming up would be interesting. I mean, I could easily see a situation where, like, the Eldrazi poke into other storylines off and on. They kind of represent the big bad guys of the Star Wars universe. So I could easily see, like, every few sets, the Eldrazi are back, or one or two have shown up, and we have Waste again. It's feasible. You know, they need a big bad guy. They got a
Waste is
taking
over the land of wherever we're at.
Yeah, just wasting the place like a bunch of partying teenagers just laying waste. But like, so yeah, that'll be interesting to see, but it's really up to Wizards. And this is kind of a cool way for them to poke at it, put it into the set, but they at the end of the day, they control the effect it has with the cards they print. So I don't think we're going to see many powerhouses. I'm sure it'll be a part in Standard. I'm sure, you know, these ramp decks are probably going to have some new toys to play with the new Eldrazi and everything. Kozilek looks like a pretty good target for them. So we'll see how this goes moving forward. But coming down on the list here brings us to issues with pre-release and draft.
Ooh, yes. And this is a key one too for our limited players. So listen up for this.
Yeah. So from the original spoiler, ever since we saw that image, most of us have been talking about how the card was listed as a common rather than a land. So the designation of common now makes perfect sense because they've said that these will not be included in the little like land sets that you have for drafts and sealed events where you can go and take any amount of each color you need. These will not be a part of that. So for sealed events and for draft events, if you draft like a Kozilek that requires these, you also have to draft these colorless, the wastes, the land. Yep. So, you know, a key point if they produce any other, which I'm sure they usually always have in a set, some type of functional land that taps for colorless, that'll also do it, obviously. But it's a key to note that, yeah, you'll have to draft these lands, which from a limited standpoint puts a little bit of an asterisk on if you take that Kozilek or not. I mean, commons are pretty frequent, so in a draft environment, getting two seems feasible, but if you have no way to search it up, then you may be hard-pressed to cast that Kozilek.
Right. Also, too, for those who are drafting, if you don't want anybody to get Kozilek, you can take the aggressive route, and you can take those, even though you might not use them, but you can prevent people in your pod from getting the mana available for Kozilek.
Yeah, I just hate draft those bad boys. Yeah, I mean, so it'll be cool to see. We're not huge on limited, so we may be listening in on some other guys to see how they feel about these wastes. Because, I mean, like, the draft order, the order you pick them, how you prioritize them is going to be pretty interesting. I would imagine, like, this is really going to come down to how many, like, commons and uncommons have this in their converted mana cost.
Yeah.
If it's just a few bomb mythics, then it gets pretty obvious. If you draft it, then okay, cool. But, like, if it's third pack and it's your first pick, do you take it? Are you going to be able to see two waste by then or two colorless producing lands? I mean, who knows? So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I've got a feeling that since you have to draft this and it's being listed as a common, we're probably not going to see commons and uncommons with this. If so, not many.
Yeah, no, I don't see it being a big impact. It's definitely going to be a few, but like the amount of devoid creatures that we saw in Battle for Zendikar, I don't think we're going to get that same ratio in this set, because this set is smaller. It's a smaller set. I think 189 cards total for the set is what it's going to be. So the number that they're going to have dedicated for this waste, I don't think it's going to be enough to grossly impact the
I totally blanked on this too. Sorry to interrupt, but it's going to be drafted with
Battle
for Zendikar.
Yep.
So is it one battle, two? Have they said?
I don't think they've said. Generally, though, for the two-headed giant, though, it is... I mean, we've been getting six packs now, so it might be 3-3.
Well, no, pre-release should be all.
Yeah,
right? Pre-release should be six packs. Yeah, pre-release is going to be six packs okay. just a new set. But then draft afterwards when
we draft.
It might be a one... I think it's going to be a 1-2 split.
Yeah, 2-1 split.
With two being the new set.
Yeah, I mean, which is okay, because that helps you out a little bit more with getting the pain lands, which will now tap for a waste.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so the draft order will be interesting because I would think you would really want to draft these Oath Packs first.
Whether or not you're going to...
Depending on how big of a player these cards are, obviously.
Yeah.
But
It's definitely going to be interesting. And Alex, he's our main one for playing Sealed. So we'll definitely have to talk to him a lot and get his impressions on it as more and more spoilers come out.
Yeah, so it's going to be one to watch. I mean, between this and the Surge Mechanic, the limited environment is going to be pretty interesting. But yeah, so we'll just have to see going forward. I mean, the colorless mana, I mean, not to harp on this too much more, but I really, overall, I don't see the impact being very big. I mean, like we said, it's only going to affect the cards that are coming out new. It's not going to have any real effect on older cards. There may be something that pops up that has a weird interaction with this. I never really want to rule that out in Magic, but I can't really imagine what it would be.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see where we go with this set. Some people are saying it's going to be great because now we've got this waste. We've got the new mechanic. Others are, oh, you've ruined Magic. Great going.
The sky is falling.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll see. But overall, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think people are blowing it up to be way more. But I think the possibilities, like, just based on it being a common land and based on how it's going to affect casting costs, I don't think it's going to be a very big player in this set. I mean, because it looks like, based on the artwork, they released the artwork for the packs, and they have images of four of the Planeswalkers doing, like, taking their oath. So I think we're going to see a lot of Planeswalkers in this set. I may be wrong, but...
Yeah, also, too, looking back at Battle for Zendikar, you know, there is some art of other Planeswalkers that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, why is that? Where are they? Like, we have cards with Ugin, but obviously there's been no Ugin because we already had one.
Right.
What are some other ones that were there?
The core.
Nahiri.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Nahiri's probably likely to show up in this set. And I mean, even like the Oath pictures, we may see a really cool cycle of cards where each color has its own Oath card. Maybe they're enchantments. There's, you know, a bunch of possibilities for that. But
Yeah,
so we've got some time left in this segment. And I mean, I think we've pretty much beaten this thing to death.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
What do you guys want to talk about?
They got the 7-1 Invitational decks out.
Yeah, nice. Let's pull those up. Let's talk about some of these deck lists. Because, yeah, we kind of overshot this whole waste thing.
Yeah, so...
I think we nailed it. I think we did a sufficient job. You guys get it, right?
Like
they're going to answer. But I think they got it. If not, like always, send us some feedback. Send us some questions. Send us some speculations. We like reading all that stuff. All
right, so for those of you who don't know, what we're going to be going over is the Invitational is a three-day tournament. It starts on Friday with 8 rounds. It's split format. And then 8 rounds day 1, 8 rounds day 2. And what they do is they post all the decks from each format for Modern and Standard, because this is a Modern Standard, and that's what they're all going to be even next year. They post the decks that went 7-1 or better over the course of those 2 days for their designated formats. So you want to go over the Modern ones first?
Yeah, let's talk some Modern. What you got in there? What's spicy?
All right, Scapeshift.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Yep, Scapeshift made it. There's a couple Green Red Trons expected. Green Red Tron did take the Season 2 Invitational.
Yeah, pretty solid deck.
Grixis Control, there's two of there. Grixis Twin. Two Infect.
Nice.
And there's a Zoo deck.
Okay.
And then Blue Red Tron. Or sorry, not Blue Red Tron. Blue Red Twin.
Oh man, I was about to say Blue Red Tron. That's spicy.
Yeah, no. There's two just straight Blue Red Twin. And we had talked about it before, too, is whenever, you know, for your larger tournaments, the all-in combo Blue-Red Twin is probably one of the best routes to go.
Yeah, I mean, like, Grixis is nice because it has a wide array of answers for any situation. But when you're looking at a big tournament spanning endless rounds, sometimes it's nice to just go all-in on the combo plan. So these Blue-Red Twin variants, that's usually what's going on, is they're running more of the combo pieces. Some of them run Kiki Jiki, things like that. But really, you're just looking at more of an all-in twin kind of experience. And I mean, when you're battling round after round and the countless number of decks in Modern and all the possibilities that you could run into, going the more control-ish route of Grixis can be detrimental to your plan. So, I mean, it's nice to just be able to go all-in on this combo.
One of them, too. I have not seen this against twin matchups before, but the one blue-red twin was actually running Keranos main.
Yeah, I've seen it come in and out, especially with some of the control variants. But I mean, Keranos main, like, he's a house in Modern. Like, he's very hard to get off the board, especially game one, and it presents that inevitability. So I mean, if you got someone fighting you tooth and nail over the twin combo, and they tap out and you get to just drop a Keranos, like, usually he's going to coast you straight to victory.
Yeah, and that list also had no Pester Mites. So he only had the Deceiver Exarch going for his twin package.
That's a pretty interesting build thing because it sounds like it's less all in. Is he running like Jace's in it?
No Jace's. He only had 3 Splinter Twin, 4 Snapcasters, 2 Vendilion Clicks.
Huh. And so then, that's funny. That's almost like a blue-red control build with the twin combo mixed in there. That's a pretty, like, I can get behind it. That's a sweet game plan. I mean, Alex has been kind of joking, half serious about running like twinless twin, like just running the sort of the tempo game plan or going less and less on the combo. So it sounds like that's right up his alley, because I mean, really, with these decks, like, people respect that combo so much.
Oh yeah, That's one of the staple combos in Modern.
Yeah, and a lot of times you'll get people where they're just so worried about preventing that that they just start eating all kinds of damage from bolts and snaps and all this kind of slow damage over time that they're not paying attention to. So you can just beat them with the fear of the combo. It doesn't even have to show up to the battle.
Yep.
What was the Scapeshift list looking like? Was that...
Scapeshift list.
Yeah, let's see what we got there.
The Scapeshift list was different. It was a straight red-green Scapeshift.
Okay. Yeah, so there was a similar... I think it was a GP. It may have been an open, but I believe it was a GP that Scapeshift took not too long ago, like in the last month or so. And it was this same kind of red-green list.
For Primeval Titan.
Yeah. Yep, that sounds like it. That's probably the exact same list. Is it running Commune with Lava?
Yes, two of them.
Yep, that's got to be the same list. Yeah, it's likely... You read the name to me earlier. I don't think it's the same player that ran it before. I think it's a new player, which is interesting that someone switched over to that list. So Scapeshift is usually, you know, like rug variant with control, or sometimes you see it go Jund. Now there's been a lot of four-color Bring to Light, so it's kind of interesting that we see a lot of the Scapeshift lists moving to four-color for Bring to Light, and then some moving back down to just two colors.
And one thing I like about this one, too, this guy was expecting a lot of graveyard play. He had four Relic of Progenitus in the main board.
Yeah, and I'll have to check, because the list, the other list, it may have had four Relic. I feel like I remember it having two, and he may have upped it, but from everything you're reading so far, I got a good feeling that this guy just copy and pasted the list. I mean, it's a good list. So I don't.
He did well with it, 7-1 over 2 days.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a solid list. It's a great deck, and I mean, that's an angle that a lot of people aren't expecting, so you can catch people on that. So, did you want to move over? Do we have some standard lists, too?
Yeah, we got the standard lists up. We have 5-color Bring to Light.
Was that Joe Lissette?
Yeah, there's Joe Lissette. Nice. Yeah, he top 8-ed also. Jeskai Black, Black-White Warriors, 4-color Rally, Abzan Aggro, Mardu Dragons, Mardu Green. And the Mardu Green, I was looking at this, it primarily splashes just for Den Protector and, of course, the best 4-drop in the format right now, Siege Rhino.
Yep, makes sense.
More Abzan, Esper Dragons.
Okay, nice.
Another Black-White Token, or Black-White Control. And then the one that surprised me, 2 copies of Red-Black Dragons went 7-1.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've seen it come up every once in a while, top 16, top 32, but this have 2 of these decks go 7-1 across 2 days in an invitational. That, to me, that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I mean, can you take a quick look at those lists? Are they identical?
There are a couple of variants in the spells, just the number of spells that they had, but their creature base is pretty much the same. Hangerback Walker, Flamewake Phoenix, Monastery Swift Spear, Thunderbreak Regent, Colligan the Storm's Fury, and Zergo Bellstriker.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting. It's just like an aggro deck that curves into dragons.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Yeah, no, I mean, that's the reason I asked if they're identical is a lot of times you see teammates playing the same deck, and especially two performing that well is pretty crazy. The Black-White Warriors deck, was that Sam Black?
The Black-White Warriors, yes, it was Sam Black.
Yeah, he popped up on camera a few times, and that deck looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good build here. It's got 2 Gideons, Bloodchin Ranger, 4 Bloodsoak Champion, Chief of the Edge, Mardu Strike Leap.
There's a one of the Flip Gideon too, right?
Yes, Kytheon.
Kytheon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so I mean, I got to see that on camera. I was like, oh man, I haven't seen Kytheon in a while.
Right, yeah, he popped up a little bit and then he went away immediately almost.
Yeah. Yep, so it was a one of, like I said, I got to see it flip on camera and it was doing pretty well. But yeah, Sam Black looked like he had a pretty good tournament. Any other notable names on that list?
We Jeff Hoogland, he was running Black-White Control.
Was it Black-White?
Huh?
Black-White?
Yeah, Black-White.
Hmm. Pop that list open. What do we got going there?
4 Seeker of the Way, and then a Beast of a Planeswalker package here. 3 Gideon, 3 Obnixilus, and 2 Sorin.
Huh, nice.
And then Silkwrap, Stasis Snare, Murderous Cut, Secure of the Wastes, and your other removals. And then just more removal and hand description in the sideboard. With Monastery Mentor, he's got 3 copies of, and 1 Dark Petition.
Nice, I can dig it. No, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, we'll link to these lists as well, just so that way you can take a gander at these. Usually, like, you got to remember these are tuned for big tournaments, so you might see some things in them that aren't necessarily well-suited for FNMs and things like that. But if you have any questions, always reach out to us.
Oh, yeah, no, we're glad to answer. And a lot of one-offs, too, in the sides, just because you don't know what you're going to run into in these big tournaments.
Right. So they're adjusted for a wide variety of situations and meta calls. So But definitely take a look at them. There's some sweet lists in there. Some of the modern lists are definitely pretty spicy. But yeah, so like I said, we'll link to that. We'll also have that link up there for you for the Star City Games article we mentioned in the first half. But that's going to just about do it for us on time. Before we get out of here, another reminder. Come on, guys. Holiday giveaway. Hit that Facebook page up. We've got some cool stuff that we want to send out. No cost to you. Go do it. It's fun. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Joyous Kwanzaa.
Joyous Kwanzaa. Bad Christmas. I'll take bad Christmas.
Yeah.
Bad Hanukkah. Yeah. Keep it kind of clean. We don't want to have to remove any of these, but
yeah.
Go ham. Have some fun. Make up a holiday. I don't care. But yeah, whatever you celebrate or you don't celebrate or hit them all with the happy holidays, you know how it goes. Other than that, though, do we have any other announcements before we get out of here? Rob's got videos going up every Friday.
Every Friday. Stay tuned. It's only going to be about 3 or 4 games, just about an hour, maybe an hour and a half of play. And I'm going through different decks and things like that. I am preparing for the open, but I don't want to bore you guys with a whole bunch of Infect play. So with that, it's going to be, I do have Tamur Black for standard, and I have some funds also set up to where we can try other decks. So if you have a deck that you would like to see, depending on what it costs for us to build it out, I mean, we'll do it and we'll play it, give you our analysis on it.
Yeah, nice. So if you have anything you'd like to see on the camera, on the feature stuff, let us know. We'll see how feasible that is for us to grab and build up. But I mean, really, like anything else that we do on this cast, like we always talk about, like we want this to be, you're the wind that steers us.
Right.
So reach out. Let us know what you want. Like we want to do this for you guys. So let us know what's up. We've got, are those archived anywhere? Do we have those on YouTube, right?
They're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. I'll definitely be sure to get the link posted with this. And then also, as you guys saw, the website has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't have the drop down menu to go to all the pages, but if you do a search for videos, it'll pull up the video page and I'll have the videos that we already have up, and then that'll lead you to our YouTube channel, and then from there you can like and subscribe, and then you'll get updated for every time we put a new video on.
Nice. There you go. So right now we're doing those weekly on Friday. We're looking to do some with limited for Alex, so maybe we'll have some of those. That's, you know, a work in progress, like everything lately.
Right.
But we'll definitely keep you posted on that. Like Rob said, the website's looking kind of wonky these days. We are working through that. Getting Alex back on the cast was kind of the top priority right now. We're finishing wrapping that up, so we'll be back on that shortly. But yeah, like always, man, share the page, share the Facebook page. Let people know. Like, the more people we have listening, one, it's great for our egos. We feel like we have a reason to breathe every day. But more importantly, we get a bigger crowd to fund ideas from, to look into where we want to steer this, and more input. And that's what we're always dying to get. So let a friend know, share it, reach out to us with any questions. And if that's all, then that'll do it for this week. All right, guys, have a good week.
Oh, snap.